Before we take communion, we always have a time of searching our hearts, making sure that our sins are confessed and forsaken, and that's so important. Just as a reminder from 1 Corinthians 11, why we do so. But let a man, Paul says, examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, in other words, with sin in his heart, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What are we doing when we take time to examine ourselves, to confess our sins, seek God's forgiveness? We are examining, we are judging ourselves. And when we do that, then we are not judged. For if we would judge ourselves, then Paul writes here, we should not be judged. Keep in mind, when we confess our sins, and we all are sinners, so there's always something to confess, then God doesn't judge us. In other words, chasten us. But when we fail to do that, then we are chastened. Verse 32, but when we are judged, in other words, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, in other words, when God does judge us, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And so it really is important that we, before we partake of the bread and the cup, judge ourselves, confess our sins. We either judge ourselves or God judges us. And I think it's important that we do our part. Amen? And so we will do that. But I want us to kind of springboard us into that part of our communion time. I want us to focus our attention for just the next few minutes on one of my favorite verses that I feel is very applicable to this aspect of judging ourselves. And that is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. So if you'll turn there, please, we'll take a few moments to look at this statement by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians. Let's say the verse together. Maybe you've put it to memory. If you have, just look up at me. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. How do we know? Where did God for Christ's sake forgive us? At the cross. And that's what we will remember tonight. Well, what is Paul telling us here? If we understand the context of this verse, in the place of the vices that the apostle has just mentioned that come from the old corrupted evil man within us, and we're talking about deceit, lying, anger, thievery, unwholesome words, bitterness, wrath, clamor, slander, rather than manifest those works of the flesh, we are, as Paul says here, we are to put on the new man, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and true holiness. We are to be like Christ, this new man that comes into us, that we become when we accept Christ into our hearts. And what about this new man who is created in righteousness and holiness? Well, how does he live? What is his life like? How can we describe it? Verse 32 tells us he's kind, he's tender-hearted, and he forgives. He's kind, he's tender-hearted, and he forgives. Doesn't that picture Christ? I mean, if you think of Christ, wasn't he kind? Wasn't he tender-hearted? And certainly he has forgiven us. And so this life, we are to exemplify, we are to live out this life that's created in righteousness and holiness. God has created within us a life that can live out in a righteous, holy way. And specifically, this new man is kind. He is unconditionally kind. What does all that mean? He's full of helpful action. There's a gentleness in bearing with wrong. Isn't that a beautiful way to describe kindness? A gentleness in bearing with wrong, which is the kindness that certainly characterizes our Lord, amen? Hasn't he been gentle in bearing with our wrongs? Luke 6:35 says of Christ, he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. One of the things that's hard for me and hard for you, I'm sure, to do is to be kind to people that you don't feel deserve it. And usually that life is marked by an unthankful spirit. And then in Romans 2:4, Paul speaks of the riches of God's goodness or kindness, forbearance, long-suffering. So our Lord is not just kind and forbearing and long-suffering, but there's a richness to it, which indicates that there is an abundance. He manifests his kindness to us in an abundant way. And so Paul says, rather than acting like the heathen of society, rather than yielding to the lust of the flesh, holding on to the past, be kind. Be grace-filled. And then next, Paul says, we are to be tender-hearted. And tender-hearted has the idea of being compassionate. We have that gut-wrenching empathy to minister to meet the needs of others, no matter what those needs might be. Our hearts are pained for others. Can you think of the last time your heart was pained for someone else? You saw a need, a specific need, a legitimate need, and from your inner man, you just felt an overwhelming heart for that person. That's being tender-hearted. Tender, think about this, the word tender-hearted. You have a tender heart toward that one who has a need. Our hearts are moved then to meet the need or needs of others. We care for others to the point we meet that need. We don't just say, be warmed and filled. Anyone can say, Lord bless you and I'll pray for you. And those are good things. I mean, we should be praying. But really, the tender-hearted person puts feet, puts energy, exercises his or her time and expends their talent, their treasure, to be tender-hearted toward that one who has a need. And then Paul says we are to be forgiving of one another. We are to be kind, we are to be tender-hearted, we are to be forgiving. Don't you see that they all go together? Ladies and gentlemen, if you aren't a forgiver, you aren't kind and you aren't tender-hearted. If your heart is kind, if your heart is tender-hearted, you will forgive. And I think it's really a rebuke to me, because one thing that's hard to do is to forgive. How many of you would agree? Especially if we know that we have been ill-treated. But a kind, tender-hearted heart forgives. As God in Christ has forgiven us, I mean, doesn't that mark Christ's heart? Kind, tender-hearted. As God in Christ has forgiven us, has shown mercy to us, has manifested undeserved mercy to us, we are to humbly extend that same unfailing, full, liberal mercy, that same free favor to others. Isn't that what God through Christ has shown to us? Forgiveness. Where would we be? Where would we be if we have not experienced forgiveness? Now let me make some comments about forgiveness. And forgiveness is such a needful response toward others. I think forgiveness is something that we talk about, but we don't always live out. Unforgiveness divides. It divides families. It divides, separates friends, separates church members, perhaps people at work. When a person isn't willing to forgive, there's an immediate barrier, wall, that goes up between that person and the person that that individual is not willing to forgive. And so for people, and I would say for most people, they live with walls in their lives, unwilling to be kind, to be tender-hearted, and to be forgiving. Ladies and gentlemen, when you live with walls in your life, you're going to be cut off from life. How does God minister to you? He ministers to you through others. He ministers to you through the body of Christ. And if you have a wall up between you and that other person, maybe he's sitting across the aisle from you. Maybe that person lives in your own home. You're separating yourself. You're walling off yourself from the grace that God wants to pour through that person to you. Well, let me continue. Forgiveness is a promise to bury that transgression. I like to say to bury the hatchet, to smoke the peace pipe. True forgiveness is to put away that transgression forever, to never bring up that sin against that person again. In other words, as we forgive, we forget. Forgiveness, to be forgiveness, must include forgetfulness. We push the delete button. We wipe it off the screen of our hearts. The same promise of forgiveness God has made to us through the blood of Christ, which is as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103, verse 12. He casts our sins behind his back. If sins are behind God's back, can he see those sins? I don't think so. He has covered our sins. Psalm 32:1. Romans 4:4 says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sin is covered. He remembers our sins no more. There's that forgetfulness. Isaiah 43:25. Hebrews 8:5 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sin, and their iniquities will I, and this is God speaking, remember no more. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, we read, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It's divine to forget. He has cast our sins into the depths of the sea. And when you look into the water, unless it's really, really, really clear, which most water is not, after about 10 feet, you don't see anything. But here we see that he has cast our sins into the depths of the sea when he nailed our sins to the cross. In these ways that God has forgiven us, and in these ways that God forgets our sins against him, forgiveness means forgetfulness, we are to grant, generously grant, mercifully grant, lovingly grant, humbly grant, joyfully grant to others. And I thought about this afternoon. Praise God, Jesus gives us the grace to forgive. Have you ever thought about that? Even the grace to forgive. Not just the forgiveness, but the grace to take that step is divine. And so this evening, let us be reminded of the unpayable debt of sin that we have been forgiven. God has forgiven us all our transgressions. And he did so at the cross. And might we, with gratitude for the mercy he has shown to us, extend the same God-given mercy to others by forgiving their very small, easily payable debts. Remember in the graphic illustration of forgiveness, in the parable of Matthew chapter 18, and it started by Peter asking the Lord, how many times do I forgive? And he said, how many times? He said, 7 times. And what was Christ's response? 70 times 7, or what? Or an innumerable. You just keep forgiving. You just keep forgiving. That's the point. Christ said, you just forgive. Whatever that person does to you, you forgive. Whatever that person does to you, you forgive. Think about Christ on the cross. What did he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I wanted to remind you what Christ called the man with the unforgiving heart in this illustration or this parable. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 18 or just follow along as I read, beginning with verse 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity or mercy on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Christ called the man with the unforgiving heart wicked. Let us be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, remembering that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Remember, mercy grants forgiveness. And with mercy comes forgetfulness. And mercy comes from a humble, thankful, tender heart. Someone has rightly asked, could making the promise to forgive someone who has wronged you even come close to costing you what Christ's promise has cost him? And what did it cost Christ to forgive us? His life. Will it cost you your life to forgive someone else? Probably not. But God, through Christ, was willing to give his life to forgive us. Might we be willing to forgive others, even if it cost our life. But let us be people who forgive and forget.